Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio. Every week, Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now, your host, Jason Miller.
This is a special edition of Ask the CIO. We're going to listen to excerpts from a recent FCA Bethesda panel discussion on cloud computing that I moderated. The first CIO we hear from is Bajinder Pal of the Federal Trade Commission.
Over the last several years, since 2010, there's been tremendous progress, if you will, in innovation in cloud technology that I think from a CIO's perspective, we can actually take a very practical view in implementing those innovative technology solutions and reducing costs and improving business efficiencies and operations. I'd like to go back to what Anish Chopra, the Chief Technology Officer at the White House, often used to say, that innovation and security can and must coexist. And they do, quite frankly. I think if you sort of step back, and if you look at the overall IT budget for the federal government, it's approximately $80 billion, right? And I think the very conservative projection are that by 2015, approximately $20 billion would be the cloud space, right? So I think we have to step back and take a look at, over the last 3-4 years, are there touch points that enable the federal government agencies, the CIOs, to be able to connect those dots, those touch points, and actually begin a journey of modernization that can leverage cloud computing into the next generation, whether it's infrastructure, email, or software as a solution. So if you look back, the Cloud First policy, the 25-point implementation plan, that was historical. I mean, that really enabled the movement of the cloud computing. And then obviously the security in the cloud FedRAMP, and also from an acquisition point, GSA has moved forward in establishing BPAs for infrastructure as a service, email as a service, software as a service. I mean, that movement is beginning to move forward, right? So from my standpoint as the CIO of the Federal Trade Commission, I take a very practical view. I believe that we ought to be able to leverage these innovative steps, aggregate the major movements in the policy, in the acquisition space, and in the offering of the cloud computing to provide realistic operational solutions to the mission of the agency. Now, from the FTC's perspective, clearly, I mean, we have a very significant mission, right? It's all about consumer protection. We are the agency for consumer protection. In fact, last year, the FTC returned $153 million back to the U.S. Treasury as a result of, you know, going after consumer protection issues. In fact, also last year, I believe, $21 billion for our other mission, which is the promoting competition in the marketplaces, $21 billion was actually saved as a result of preventing anti-competitive market practices. So a very significant mission, if you will. In that context, technology plays a huge role, right? So as a CIO, I've been there for approximately a year now. Clearly, there are opportunities in the infrastructure as a service and the infrastructure consolidation and modernization. As we establish the modernization roadmap, there are some low-hanging fruit, typically, that you see across the agencies. For example, email, our messaging platform, if you will, our wireless solutions. These are opportunities, right? I mean, these are opportunities where we can achieve cost savings. We can improve mission performance, availability, reliability, and reduce the footprint of the data center, if you will, by leveraging the cloud computing, if you will. The second part of mission is to establish a mobile computing platform. Like any other agency, I mean, our workforce is highly mobile. I mean, we depend on truly having secure access to information anytime, anywhere, any platform. So the ability to be able to launch a remote, secure mobile application from those platforms to be able to conduct the transactions of the agency is highly important. So mobile computing is an area that obviously we're looking at applying the cloud solutions, if you will. Other areas, data analytics, quite frankly, as we get more advanced, as we move beyond the email, the infrastructure consolidation, we are looking at enterprise-wide applications. Analytics is huge for us because the kinds of mission areas that we deal with, we need the ability to be able to make rapid decisions, right? So here, IT, through innovation, can become a business enabler, quite frankly, right? And that's really the key here. IT doesn't exist just for the sake of IT. Cloud computing doesn't exist for the sake of cloud computing. It exists to solve a mission application, a mission area, if you will, right? So because FTC makes rapid decisions, it collects tons and tons and tons of data to be able to process that information, to be able to analyze the information, and to be able to make quick decisions, is highly critical. So clearly, whether we are looking at email as a service, infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, software as a service, those are all of the potential areas would become highly applicable to the FTC environment. The question is really about maturity, right, and security. Because we are the sort of the privacy cop, if you will, in the federal government, security and privacy is extremely critical for us, how we secure the data in the cloud space. So I think this is an opportunity for us to partner with the industry. And in that partnership, in that collaboration, one of the challenges for all of you in the private sector is really to provide not the just the good technology, but help us to solve our mission challenges, if you will. It's important that if you look at the cloud space, public, private, or community, and you couple that with the fact that FedRAMP has matured now to low and moderate, you know, provisioning of the security posture, we need to be able to find a solution, practical solution, to solve the agency's challenges. So the modernization roadmap has just begun. We are now in the infancy stages, if you will, of implementing, consolidating, modernizing our infrastructure application components. A lot to be done.
Now, Binjinder, you stole my one follow-up about what's the status of the modernization roadmap. So this is my interest now. So you're at the infancy. Do you have a set of milestones, 3, 5, 9 months? What are some of the highlights of those?
So specifically, a very practical approach to modernizing our infrastructure. It is based on, you know, those incremental milestones, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. Our point of departure is really focused on the messaging platform that we want to leverage cloud. Email is our first component. We are looking to leverage a cloud solution by the end of the year, quite frankly, by the end of the calendar year. We're also looking at leveraging mobile device management solutions, having a choice of mobile platforms for the users in FTC. There's also a high degree of interest for bring your own devices in the FTC. So in terms of the time frame, we are looking at potentially toward the end of the fiscal year for that movement to take place.
We have to take a break. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. Today we're listening to excerpts from a recent FCA Bethesda panel discussion on cloud computing that I moderated.
As a manager, you need to know how you can make your organization more efficient. Listen for Management Friday on Federal News Radio. We bring you information on the keystone of success for any agency or business. Friday mornings at 10, listen for AFGE's perspective on inside government. Next at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch to hear what career options may be available. Management Friday, only on Federal News Radio 1500.
Welcome back. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. Today, we're listening to excerpts from a recent FCA Bethesda panel discussion on cloud computing that I moderated. Up next is Thomas Bayer, the Security and Exchange Commission's CIO.
What we've done in the last 3 years is essentially modernize the SEC's infrastructure and its technology. When I arrived at the SEC, there hadn't been a lot of investment for a number of years, and the funding had been significantly cut. In the last 3 years, we've had an uptick in our funding, and it's enabled us to do a lot. We've also been focused on improving our service levels. So our service levels within the Securities and Exchange Commission are 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and 99.99% uptime. And that's something that we need to do in order to make our staff as efficient and effective as possible. Last year, we recently moved all of our technology from in-house data centers and a public data center into 2 new data centers, and we essentially replaced our entire infrastructure within those data centers. And if you will, that would be a private cloud infrastructure for us. They are not data centers that we control ourselves. We lease space and we lease power and cooling from those vendors. That's been a great transition for us. It has allowed us to improve our reliability and our uptime and also reduce our overall cost of operation. We also have about 50 applications in the cloud today, and they range from a number of small applications, whether they be call center support So if you call into the SEC, that's in the cloud. We also have a lot of HR and learning applications, back office applications are also within the cloud. And we have also moved our primary website, which I think is the most traveled or website within the federal space. It's SEC.gov. It also is backed up with about 23 petabytes of data on financial filings, and that is called the EDGAR Financial Filing System. So we get about 2.5 billion hits every month on that site. Just to give you an idea, that's equal to weather.com during Hurricane Sandy. So we get a lot of hits on that. That was moved into the cloud, and we did that because we had a problem with filings of IPOs. An example was Facebook. We had approximately 100 million hits in less than an hour because we were getting redirects from the New York Times, from TechCrunch, from the Wall Street Journal, Bloomberg, and others, directing people to look at the S1 filing within SEC.gov. SEC.gov itself did not crash. We had about 2% utilization on our CPUs, but we didn't have enough bandwidth in order to serve up all that traffic. So when, by the time 3 weeks later, when the S1 was refiled by Facebook, we had moved to a vendor in the cloud, and what we saw was about 300% refresh rate improvements. The cost was reduced by 38%, and we had essentially unlimited bandwidth. That was a great news story for us. We experience events like this all the time. One time Google filed early their quarterly filing. It was a mistake. But when that happens, everybody is curious, and they want to go look at the SEC filing. And we've got infinite bandwidth through our cloud providers in order to leverage their networks and their edge routers. In addition to that, we have full text search, which is in the cloud. It allows us to search our filings and other data. We are very seriously considering moving all of SEC.gov into the cloud and removing the redundancy that we have within house. In addition to that, we are looking for additional applications that we can leverage, particularly within the analytical space. We, like the FTC, intake a tremendous amount of data. Market data, just to give you an idea, is about a petabyte and a half to 2 petabytes per day of market transactional data. We have a proposal on the table, which is called the Consolidated Audit Trail, where we will collect all that information through a third party and then analyze that data. We do that today in part by an application which is called MIDAS. If you go to SEC.gov, it's a very interesting site because we provide a lot of insight on what's happening within the marketplace. This is the same data that we're using to analyze stock transactions and options data and other things, and we turn that over to the individual investor through SEC.gov. That's hosted in a public cloud space, and it allows us to input and take in all that data in a very rapid fashion and then also display it both internally as well as externally. We found that to be incredibly reliable and incredibly efficient. So we've got major analytical applications, more are coming, and we are also in the process of moving our core technology into the cloud writ large. So for example, we are now moving our development capabilities from a test perspective and development perspective, we're starting to move that into the cloud as well. So soon I think that you will find more of the SEC in public and FedRAMP based cloud services than you will within our private cloud, which is also in the public space.
All right, a lot going on. Thomas, my one follow-up for you, of course, has to go back to the data center. When you talk about you moved to kind of a private cloud, managed service, would you call it? Is it just a new name for managed service, or is this a true cloud where, you know, access anywhere, anytime, and you pay by the drink, where if you need that uptick for this month, the vendor can turn it up. If it comes back down, they turn it down. Is it that type of service?
That service is a managed service, and it And it, we do not pay by the drink per se. We do within our other cloud offerings. Primarily, those are all pay by the drink. And that's allowed us to save a tremendous amount of money. One other thing that I would like to mention is that when we moved SEC.gov, for example, into the cloud, we're very focused on being tablet first or smart device first. And that allowed us to make that journey into IP6 seamlessly. We didn't have to build out our network. We didn't have to change out our network. We essentially leveraged the cloud providers in order to leverage that. And we were able to, on demand, essentially move to IP6, and it really helped us. We're seeing about 35 or 40% of our traffic coming from tablets, and we think that will only increase. Understand that people throughout the whole world access our information 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. If you're in Hong Kong at midnight our time, you want, and your trading day's beginning, you want to be able to access the Edgar data, and you want to access it off of your smartphone or your smart tablet.
We have to take a break. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. Today, we're listening to excerpts from a recent FCA Bethesda panel discussion on cloud computing that I moderated.
So, guess what I just heard?
You mean about the Roth TSP?
Okay, yeah. Well, also...
that bid protest on the DoD contract.
Right, but did you know...
who the Senate confirmed for the administrator's job?
Well, what about...
OMB's digital strategy.
Jeez, how do you know everything that's going on in the federal government?
I know, because I signed up for Federal News Radio's email alerts.
Be in the know and know it first with Federal News Radio's email alerts. Sign up today at federalnewsradio.com. Search email alerts.
Welcome back. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. Today we're listening to excerpts from a recent FCA Bethesda panel discussion on cloud computing that I moderated. Up next is Elaine Shee, an assistant professor in the Computer Science Department at the University of Maryland, who focuses on cybersecurity in the cloud.
Jinder and Thomas, I'm very happy to hear from you guys that there's a lot of momentum to move towards the cloud. So there's obviously many reasons why we want to move to the cloud, like lower cost, scalability on demand, easier management. What I would like to talk about is the security and privacy aspect of moving to the cloud. I hope most of you would agree that one of the biggest challenges in moving to the cloud is how do we guarantee the privacy of our sensitive data. And security and privacy are especially important when, you know, we are talking about data such as, let's say, financial data, classified information, because if these ever get leaked, then, you know, the consequences can be really bad. So what we are doing in our research is we want to be able to provide a technological solution to this problem. So we are building a new cloud computing platform that provides this what we call locally equivalent remote execution property. So what is locally equivalent remote execution? This means that when we outsource our data and computation to the cloud, we would like to achieve the security guarantee as if the infrastructure were hosted in-house. So one of the biggest differences of, you know, computing in the cloud and computing locally is that when we place things in the cloud, we basically give up physical control of the computing infrastructure. But essentially with technology, we think we can, you know, even though the infrastructure is remote, we can basically still guarantee the same level of security as if the infrastructure were local. And there are many challenges in building such a new cloud computing platform. We need to basically both secure the software and the hardware. So traditionally, there's been quite a lot of research on, for instance, finding software bugs, detecting vulnerabilities, because, for instance, if your software has vulnerability and it gets hacked into, then obviously the data will be leaked. You know, there have been many incidents in the news as well. For instance, you know, Target had this data breach. Many people's credit card numbers and account information were leaked. So what we are focusing on actually is a stronger form of security. Namely, we not only want to provide software security, but we also want to say even if the attacker has physical access to the cloud computing platform, we want to defend against such attackers. Basically, the attacker, you can think of the attacker as, let's say, a malicious insider of the cloud company, like an operator in the data center. or a malicious intruder into the physical data center. And this makes the problem much harder because if the attacker is physically present, he can do much more. Like, for instance, he can easily plug in memory probes and just monitor what's being transmitted on the memory bus. And let's say if you have social security numbers or passwords being transmitted on the memory bus, then the attacker can basically snoop all of that. And the attacker can also do some other things like maybe plug in malicious peripherals and things like that. And so one technology that we have is we have this new secure processor that you can think of the new secure processor as like capable of encrypting things. So everything will be encrypted and only inside the CPU things will be decrypted and computed on. And then you can basically try to make the CPU tamper resistant such that it will be hard for the attacker to look inside the CPU, but then you don't have to trust the rest of the hardware components, including the memory bus, memory peripherals, and all that. Basically, you don't have to trust those. And also, our secure processor would obfuscate the program's execution. Like, when the program accesses data, it will be as if in a pseudo-random fashion. So by looking at, for instance, the data access pattern, you cannot gain any information about the private data. So in order for us to, we now have like a proof of concept secure processor, and one of the biggest enabler of this technology is a new cryptography primitive that we have developed, which made this kind of obfuscated program execution possible. So to summarize, basically we hope to build this new cloud computing platform that provides very strong security guarantees as if, you know, you are hosting the infrastructure locally. What we are doing is kind of trying to provide the technology side of the solution. And in order for this to, you know, really get to a state where it can be deployed, and there are many other factors like, you know, security is always thought of as kind of like a, there's always this cost aspect of security. And eventually, you know, there's this equation, right? In one solution, you will host the infrastructure locally, and then in the other solution, you want to host this in the cloud, but now there's this added cost to ensure the data protection. And if, let's say, the second solution still has lower cost in comparison with hosting the infrastructure locally, then there may be incentive to actually move data into the secure version of the cloud. And another incentive for deployment is basically policy. Like maybe there are some kind of policy that requires certain security guarantees to be enforced when you outsource data to the cloud.
We now shift to the Q&A portion of the event. One question came from an audience member asking about the new security technology Elaine Shi just talked about and whether it could handle the volume of traffic. She answers first, followed by the FTC's Paul.
So the answer is yes. Although, you know, because typically what you do is, you know, you provision many servers to serve the traffic in parallel. So suppose you can do that, you know, you will be able to handle the traffic. Although the thing to remember is that definitely would be a higher operational cost and, you know, hardware investment to build such a secure cloud computing platform. So I think an interesting question to ask is whether with this additional cost, it would still be cheaper, for instance, to outsource data and computing to the cloud. And if the answer is yes, then there's a clear incentive, you know, still to move this into the cloud. Another very interesting challenge is that if you are, let's say, renting a virtual machine on a public cloud, in this case, your virtual machine can reside on the same physical CPU as, you know, some other companies' virtual machine. And it turns out, even though like these virtual machines, in some sense, what the system wants to guarantee is that these virtual machines are isolated from each other. Because obviously you don't want another company's virtual machine to be able to access your virtual machine's data, right? So that's the guarantee they want to achieve. But still, these virtual machines are sharing the same hardware. And information can leak in some ways. For instance, there's a group of researchers from University of Wisconsin and ISA Labs, and what they demonstrated is that because these virtual machines share the same CPU cache, and what this means is that if your virtual machine has taken this cache in the CPU, then let's say if the attacker's virtual machine has written to this cache region, that means when you fetch the data, it's more likely that there's going to be a cash miss. And the observation is that depending on, let's say, what kind of data you're executing the program on, then the cash miss, hit miss pattern can be different. And just by leveraging this cache side channel, what they show is that the attacker virtual machine can infer, let's say, an RSA encryption key on the victim's virtual machine. So that's another challenge for outsourcing to the cloud, and it happens when you are sharing the same physical computing infrastructure with other companies' virtual machines.
From a CIO's perspective, I mean, clearly Tom and I aren't going to architect the cloud architecture, if you will. I think the key for us is to be able to articulate what the requirements are. So, for example, I mean, patching is obviously a critical thing for us, and it has a huge business impact. Oftentimes, we have to like beg and plead to ask the business owners, oh, by the way, this weekend we have to do patching, so, you know, there'll be an operational impact. I think, you know, that's part of the requirements. It's up to the cloud service provider to ensure that the requirements are being met without the impact to the agency. Similarly, I think there has to be a focus on the service level agreements. At the end of the day, I mean, you know, we are in the business of delivering secure information to our users. And we need to be able to do a better job in articulating those SLAs and those requirements. And I think it's the ingenuity of the private sector that really designs the architecture in terms of what level of you know, virtualization should take place, whether it's the infrastructure or the application versus, you know, physical server implementation. I mean, that's the partnership, if you will. But I just need to know that there is continuous monitoring from a security perspective. I can independently validate and verify that. My privacy, my security requirements are being met. I can independently measure that and monitor that. I need to ensure that the patching of the environment, if you will, is taking place. And I can demonstrate that at the end of the day, too. We have the IG that conducts independent audits of a FISMA, you know, requirements, and that's critical for us. And sometimes even the GAO comes in and does an audit. So we need to be able to demonstrate that technology and how the implementation is taking place for the cloud.
That's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. Today, we listen to excerpts from a recent FCA Bethesda panel on cloud computing that I moderated. Tune in next Thursday at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. when Ask the CIO shifts to a new time and expands by 30 minutes.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, Ask the CIO, Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.